I want to turn your attention this morning as we prepare our hearts to celebrate the Lord's table back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 22. The sacrifice that our Savior made with his broken body and shed blood was the greatest example of surrender that mankind could ever see. No one has surrendered so much, so far, than what he did. But in our passage this morning, we find another example of surrender, and from it, I trust we can just for a few moments of time capitalize on five principles of conduct, of character, in the process of surrender. Five steps to surrender, and I think they're found in the life of Abraham as he was called upon by God to sacrifice his son Isaac. Genesis chapter 22, we won't read the whole passage, but I would remind us of a number of things that you, I'm sure, are aware of. One of the questions that has arisen among Bible scoffers, I didn't say Bible scholars, is that Isaac was not the only son of Abraham. But may we be reminded he was the only promised son. He was the son through whom the promise of God would eventually come to set us free and redeem us from sin. And God made that abundantly clear in this passage. Take thy son, your only son, and offer him as a burnt offering. I'm not going to get into it, but I would suggest that God has never had two opinions about any one thing. He does not spiritually stutter. And even though the law had not come for many years yet, somewhere God had given to Adam directions about how he was to be worshipped, about sacrifices. He passed it on to his sons, and they indeed theirs, and so it came to Abraham. And like I said, I don't think that God has ever had to second guess himself. So when it came to writing the law and the regulations for a burnt offering, I'm not surprised if someday I find out that Abraham full well knew what God expected with a burnt offering. If you're not aware of that, I suggest you spend some time this afternoon reading Leviticus chapter 1 through chapter 7. A burnt offering was far more than lifting a knife and plunging it into the heart of his son. Just in a capsule, it meant, of course, to sacrifice him in that way. And then a second step was that he was to be thoroughly bled. A third step that he was to be skinned. A fourth step that both all four of his feet, in this case two hands and two feet, were to be cut off. And along with the entrails washed and set aside. And then the skeleton was to be filleted until it was just bones. And then at each joint, those bones were to be cut asunder. And then all of it placed in order on the altar and set afire. Now there's no father, no mother that could reasonably think about simply plunging a knife into the heart of their child. But to think that God was expecting him to offer him as a burnt offering had to be an ominous pressure upon Abraham. And so I want us to think about that possibility as we consider this story. But let's pray first. Father, we come thankful for this opportunity, honored to stand in this pulpit. Thank you for our pastor and his family. Thank you for this time that they're enjoying away. I pray that you'd give them safety while they're there and safety as they return to us. Thank you for his pulpit ministry and for his teaching. And I thank, Lord, for just the pleasure and the privilege of being under his leadership. Bless us now as we come to this, your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In chapter 22, and I shall not read the whole thing, but in verse number 1, God said that he was tempting Abraham. In some versions, it's listed as that. And we know from the scripture that God is not tempted by any man, nor does he tempt any man. So it has to be the word test. And at the conclusion of this experience, God said, Abraham, you passed. You get an A. Now I know. The test is complete. And now I am assured of your faithfulness to me. And so this was an extreme test in the life of Abraham with his son Isaac. And then we find, of course, a number of principles that I trust we can grasp onto. What are the steps to surrender? I think simply the first one is this, that surrender doesn't require all the answers. In verse number 2, you'll recall that God said to Abraham, gather your son and take him to a place that I will show thee of. So when Abraham left that morning, maybe quietly and secretly from Sarah, not allowing her to know the deed that he was about to perform, he didn't know where he was headed. He didn't have all the answers. How ready are you to move and obey God and surrender even when you don't know the answers? Do we very often resist and dig our heels in spiritually and say, well, Lord, I'm not prepared for that. I don't know what's going to happen. How can we honestly suggest that we trust him when we're worried about something we don't know? Because he knows everything. And so the first step in learning to surrender is to realize that surrender does not require all the answers. You don't have to know everything before you start out following God. It's like the songwriter said, one step at a time. And that's our process in surrender. The second principle of mine is in verse number 4. And I'll read it as such. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes. Real surrender doesn't hold God to our timetable. You know what I've observed about myself and observed it in others over the years of ministry? That we spend an awful lot of time in prayer counseling God, advising God, suggesting answers to God, instead of just simply surrendering to him and to his will. Not only does real surrender not require all the answers, but it also doesn't hold God to our timetable. How many times have we been anxious and perhaps even said something to God, let alone our hearts crying out, hurry up, you're behind, you're late. He's never been late. He's always been on time. And as you and I learn to surrender to him and his leadership and lordship in our life, we're not going to expect him to wear a Rolex. He's not on our time. He's on his, and it's always right. A third step in learning to surrender is that it doesn't forget the promises of God. Down in verse number 5, when they finally got in view of the place where God was going to test Abraham, he said to his servants, he said, you wait here. I and the lad will go yonder to sacrifice, and it's certainly intended and meant, and we will come again. Abraham was fully set on totally surrendering to God and doing exactly what he called upon him to do. He wasn't going to cut corners. He wasn't going to make any sacrifices of the will of God. He was going to obey to the nth degree. Now, he didn't know how God was going to do it, but he was settled on the promise of God that after this experience, Isaac was still going to be around. Either God was going to perform the miraculous resurrection of his son that is offered as a burnt offering, or somehow or another, God's going to interrupt the process and provide another in his place. Abraham was absolutely certain that if I follow God and don't question him and don't worry about how long it takes, I will be back here with these servants in a period of time with my son to go on in our life. Surrender doesn't forget the promises of God. And then you remember after the sacrifice was all over, And actually, before it began, Isaac looked at his father and he said, "Father, I see the fire and the wood, but where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb?" Now, there are some versions that suggest in the wording that God provided himself a lamb. Now, that's an interesting idea because it's true. God did provide the Lamb of God that would be sacrificed. But Abraham was certain of the fact that God would meet the need. You know, you and I go up mountains to sacrifice. Not literal mountains, not literal sacrifices. But there are times in our lives where we face monumental needs and we're empty. We don't have the answers. The only thing we can do is reach for our Father's hand and trust him and surrender to him. Knowing that as we finally come to the very apex of our surrender and trust, he's going to meet us with the answer to the problem. I don't think anybody in here could honestly say God's failed. Whatever test you've been in and experienced in your life, God has never failed any of us. We may have failed. We may have not seen the ram in the bushes. We may not have recognized God's provision, but he always comes through. And as such, Abraham was settled and satisfied that as he surrendered to God, that he was not going to miss the promise of God. But there's one more step that I would leave with us, and that is down in verse number 14. At the end of this experience, Abraham, under the leadership certainly of God, renamed this place. You recall that when he was ready to sacrifice Isaac, the angel of the Lord interrupted him. He said, "Wait a minute, Abraham. Withhold thy hand. This mountain is reserved for me." Now, I know that where Abraham was not Golgotha, but it was in the Moriah chain, and it was on that series of mountains that Christ would be sacrificed. And I think maybe there's some idea that God was saying, this area is reserved for the ultimate sacrifice of my son. Withhold thy hand. Don't take his life. And God interrupted and then provided that ram stuck in the bushes. You know, it's interesting too, and I know this has probably been said many times from this pulpit and other places, that the ram was caught by his horns. What significance would that be? Why would that even be mentioned? Well, had it been caught by its skin or its wool even, to extricate it probably would have caused it to be an unsatisfactory sacrifice. And yet it could now be provided, meeting all the specifications that God could ever have for a sacrifice. And so we see these principles that could lead us to full surrender. And that is that surrender, that type of surrender, doesn't require all the answers, doesn't hold God to our timetable. It doesn't forget the promises of God. It doesn't allow us to fail in obedience. And finally, it doesn't miss God's provision. Abraham, at the end of the experience, renamed the place as Jehovah Jireh. God will see to it. God will provide. You know, that's always going to be the conclusion of a life of surrender. You'll be able to see the hand of God at every juncture, at every turn, at every experience, at every problem. He will be there to meet your need. My kind of a mind, as little as it may be, gets a vision of what might have happened at the conclusion of this experience. I mean, little Isaac had gone through something that he probably never thought he'd ever go through. He felt the hands of his tender father clasping him for one last time and then tying up with ropes and and laying him on the wood on the altar, saw him perhaps with a knife in his hand, had no idea of what was coming next. His little heart raced. But then when God provided a substitute and he was no longer to be the sacrifice, his heart must have jumped for joy. And after the sacrifice had been performed, after God had been appeased, after Abraham had been absolutely obedient to the will of his heavenly Father, it was time to go home. I can see him as Abraham sort of casually looked around and said, I believe I'm going to call this place Jehovah Jireh. God provides. And little Isaac, perhaps like he had on the way, you know, if in fact Abraham knew the full length of what God would expect in a burnt offering, how long those 3 days had to have been. See that little boy running ahead, throwing rocks across the pond and skipping them on the top and all the things a little boy would do. Now that it was over with, Isaac perhaps was anxious to get home. He's missing Mama. And perhaps he ran ahead and would turn back and see his elderly, aged father gingerly and tenderly making his way down through the rocks. He'd say, "Hurry up, Dad. We got to get home and tell Mama what God has done here." He had a life lesson that he'd never forget. He learned and saw the evidence of a life of surrender in his father's eyes. How surrendered are you? How surrendered am I? Can we come to this absolute example of surrender in the life and the death of the Lord Jesus and really do more than glibly sing the song, "I surrender all. All to him I freely give." You know, that's a lot. Don't ever let those words tumble off your lips without thinking what real surrender costs. Don't be flighty. Don't be easygoing on the definition, the truth of surrender. And as we recognize and remember this morning this beautiful example of surrender, may we ourselves be willing to say, honestly, "Lord, have your own way in my life. I take my hands off. I back away. I want you to have complete control. I'm willing to pay the price, whatever it may be. I'm willing to go with you as you lead and follow explicitly. I want to surrender. I want to give it all. Lay it all on the altar of sacrifice I would make today." Let's bow together and pray. Father, it is with a full heart that we come thanking you for the great example of our Savior as he surrendered to your will. Many times in his life he said things like, "I must be about my Father's business. I have a mission to complete." And he was willing to go all the way to the cross and shed his blood and give his body to be broken that we might have life eternal. Thank you for his willingness to give it all. And I pray that you'd help us as we go through the pathway of our Christian life to learn to give it all. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.